भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय प्राणं दारं शुद्धं ब्राह्मणं विहश च सापरिच्छदा राजं बालं माहि कोशं इति सर्वं निवेदितं प्राणदाराशुता ब्राह्मणं प्राणदाराशुता ब्राह्मणं गृहाश्चाशा परीक्षदा राजं बालं माहि कोशा राजं बालं माहि कोशा इति सर्वं निवेदितम् इति सर्वं निवेदितम्
Children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia
My kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you. Perpetuate of His divine grace, in some readings the word dara is not used, but the word used then is raja, raya, which means wealth. In India there are still wealthy persons who are recognized by the state as raya, a raya, actually. A great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called Ramananda Rai because he was governor of Madras and very rich. There are still many holders of the title Rai because such as Rai Bahadur, Rai Chaudhuri and so on. The dara or wife is not permitted to be offered to the brahmanas. Everything is offered to worthy persons who are able to accept charity, but nowhere is it found that one offers his wife. Therefore, in this case, the reading Raja is more accurate than dara. Also, since Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras, the word kosha, or treasury, need not be separately mentioned. Kings and emperors used to keep a private treasury which was known as Ratabandha. The Ratnabandha was a special treasury room which contained special jewelries such as bangles, necklaces and so on, which were presented to the king by the citizens. This jewelry was kept separate from the Legora treasury house where all the collected revenues were kept. Thus Prithu Maharaj offered his stock of private jewelry to the lotus feet of the Kumaras. It has already been admitted that all the king's property belonged to the Brahmanas and that Prithu Maharaj was simply using it for the welfare of the state. If it were actually the property of the Brahmanas, how could it be offered again to them? In this regard, Shripad Sridhar Swami has explained that his offering is just like servant's offering of food to his master. The food already belongs to the master, for the master has purchased it, but the servant, by preparing food, makes it acceptable to the master and thus offers it to him. In this way, everything belonging to Prithu Maharaj was offered to the Kumaras. Translation one more time. The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, today we are going to discuss about one very important topic for all of us. It's about the duty performance. How we have to behave as a Vaishnavas, what is our duty, what are our responsibilities, and what is the proper attitude to maintain that kind of duty. So, this material world is not everything what exists. It's actually a very small part of the whole existence, and the spiritual world is much, much bigger. Both of them, they create one unity which belongs to Krishna. So both material and spiritual world, they both belong to Krishna. We are not owners of anything. Whatever we believe that we have, whatever we think that we have, we are just borrowing from Lord Krishna. And that's a fact. Just like when you have a state and you have one country belongs to the government. Right. So sometimes members of government change. In this case, Krishna is always remaining the same personality. He charged for everything. So government is a charge for one state, for one country. And the same rule is inside of the prison and outside of the prison as well. Even if somebody is in the prison, he still belongs to that government. If somebody is living peaceful and nice life outside of the prison, he still belongs to the government. He still is a part of that state. And he has to follow all the rules and regulations. That's why it's not an excuse if we are inside of this prison, which we call material world, that we don't have to follow rules and regulations. No. Our duty, our obligation is to follow everything. Of course, we are trying to escape, to follow our duty. We are trying to be more smart than Krishna. But it's not easy, because, you know, he's the source of our intelligence. He is our intelligence, according to Bhagavad Gita. So, there is another very important fact which we have to keep in mind all the time is that the world is actually a perfect place. And whatever is happening to us during life is perfect. And whatever is going on, any situation which we are put in, it's perfect for us. Only what is not perfect, and maybe, I mean, mostly it's not perfect, are our desires. But even if we have a bad desire, still Krishna is putting us, during realization of that desire, in position which is perfect for us. Many times we believe that, you know, why this happened to me? I mean, I did everything nice, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to perform service on, you know, best as I can. I'm trying to chant my rounds best as I can. I'm trying to do this and that. And still, bad things happen. And the answer is very simple. It happened because it has to happen. That's our abordage. This is something what we need to advance in Krishna consciousness. And we should never forget actually what is the purpose of this material world. The purpose of this material world is not enjoyment. It's actually work. We have to work on ourselves. We have to improve ourselves and to go back to the spiritual world. Or to stay here in pure mind consciousness. That means the pure meditation of the Lord to Krishna. That's actually the right attitude. So, Prithu Maharaj, we discussed already that he's Adi Guru, that he's personification of a perfect king. He's Adi Raja, sorry, not Adi Guru. Personification of Raja, of king. That he's perfect example how one king, how one ruler should behave. So he offered to four Kumaras everything what he had. Because four Kumaras were perfect Brahmanas. Please, we have to important, you know, we have to remember one important fact. Whoever is leader, whoever is king, whoever is owner of anything, he has to offer to the Brahmanas. But actually, the right formulation is that he has to offer everything to the bona fide Brahmana. Kumaras were bona fide Brahmanas. Bona fide Brahmana, just one of many different characteristics of bona fide Brahmana is that bona fide Brahmana is taking only that much how much he needs. He doesn't take how much he wants. He doesn't have any extra desires. He's just taking how much he needs. That's one of the characteristics of bona fide Brahmana. So the kings are not, you know, in big anxiety that Brahmana, one Brahmana will come and he will take the whole kingdom and everything else and then he will stay without anything. No, it's not like that. The bona fide Brahmana is the perfect Brahmana. And that kind of Brahmana is worth of any kind of worship. You know, and kings, as a Kshatriyas in our society, and not in our society, I mean in the in the perfect society, the kshatriyas, they have to provide the brahmanas everything what they need, including protection. So that was his duty. And he was doing his duties on a perfect way. He was performing his duties on a perfect way. Now, we have to discuss today about what is the perfect way for all of us to perform duty. Not just as a king, but as any small particle, as any small part of this universe, of this world, of this society, of this Krishna consciousness movement. There is one beautiful chapter in Bhagavad Gita, the fifth chapter. I mean, all chapters are beautiful. This one is particularly important for us, Karma Yoga. It's all about activities in Krishna consciousness. It's all about how we have to perform our duties. What are our duties and for what we should spend time during the day. So, in the beginning of fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking Krishna, okay, now I'm a little bit, this just my perform. I'm a little bit confused. You mentioned that renunciation is great, and now you mentioned that devotion is great, devotional service. So, and they're a little bit contradictory. Renunciation means I'm renounced. I'm trying not to do anything, I'm just trying to focus, you know, on meditation. And devotional service means I'm doing a lot of different activities during the day. Then Krishna smiled and looked towards Arjuna and said, well, they're both going towards liberation. Both renunciation and devotional service. But between those two, devotional service is better. An answer on the question why it's better is because it produces one very important feeling for all of us. That feeling can keep us for the rest of our life in Krishna consciousness, and that's happiness. Very, very important thing. When we are doing renunciation, we are going towards liberation, but we don't feel happiness. We just feel peace. When we are doing devotional service, there is one extra feeling which Krishna provides for us, which is hiding behind all those austerities, and this is a pure happiness. And that's very important, especially in Kali Yuga. There is a lot of disturbance everywhere around. And we are forced to literally to swim through Maya. You know, another yugas are more peaceful. Kali Yuga is very dynamic, it's very much disturbing. And we have to learn how to survive. If we are not happy in Krishna consciousness, we are not going to be able to survive. We are not going to be able to maintain this devotional path for the rest of our life. So my dear devotees, please, please try to make perception of all, we have to try to make perception of all our lives. It's very, very important to be happy in Krishna consciousness. This is the real devotional service. One very important way how we can keep us happy is a service for Krishna. And we will discuss about that a little bit more later. Now I want to focus on two particular verses from Bhagavad Gita. This is 5.8.9 and 5.10. And I'm going to read, because we don't have so much time, I will read only translation and then we'll discuss about that. So 5.8.9 is Krishna's talking to Arjuna. A person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving, sleeping and breathing, always know within himself that he actually does nothing all does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. And the verse number 10, one who performs his duty without attachments, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Those two verses, if we make as a part of our life, would be very important to keep us busy and happy in Krishna consciousness. So, I really respect and love Srila Prabhupada, same as all of you, but there is one part of his personality, one talent, one amazing ability which I like most in him, and that those are his analogies. You know, metaphor, analogy is this amazing tool, very powerful tool in preaching. Sometimes for people it's very different to perceive the things. So with analogies, you can make it more easy, more simple for people to understand. Prabhupada, he gave more than 190 analogies in just written in scriptures, in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So analogy which is very interesting for us today is that Prabhupada mentioned in one lecture he gave on the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam that if we have a bear in the cage and we are going every day to clean the cage. Cage is clean, perfect bear is inside, there is a lot of food for her and everything. Still, this is not enough to make that bear happy. Because bear is happy only outside of the cage. It's not happy inside. So the same situation is with our soul. Even if we have the best body, even if we have the perfect controlled mind, still soul is inside of the cage. And actually our duty is not to maintain that great mind and to maintain our great body. Our only service is to help soul to get free, to help ourselves. And the only way for that is actually first is to understand that we are not two things. We are not this body and we are not this mind. So that sound which we hear every single day again and again, repeating like a record, that sound is not us. No, it's not. It's a mind. It's material mind. Sometimes it's us when it's a little bit spiritual. Because we have actually the real mind which we have in spiritual world is a spiritual mind. It's something else. That's why the whole old scriptures, everything what we are reading every day and learning is actually based on one simple fact that we have to control all our desires. Desires are very important. That doesn't mean that we should give up from desires. No, means we have to transcend desires, means we have to make desires pure. So if somebody won't like to eat ice cream, I see many devotees around going eating ice cream, that's fine. But we have to eat spiritual ice cream offered to the Lord. I mean, this is just one small example, I mean, it's not a big deal. But the point is that we have to try to spiritualize our desires, to make them perfect and make them acceptable, to help us actually in our devotional service. So, there are many rich people around the world right now today, actually more than before. Just in India, I just read recently, there are more than 60,000 millionaires, people who has more than $1 million, 60,000. And this is just accurate number, probably there are more. So, the point is that none of them, or very small amount of them, are really happy. I mean, there was one person, I know him personally from Europe, he was a very poor man, and then his whole life, he was thinking, I mean, the whole first part of life, he was thinking, oh, If I just could have money, enough money, my life would be perfect. I have so many desires, unfulfilled desires, and this is what actually can make me happy. If I just make enough, my life will be great, amazing life. So what he did, somehow Krishna helped him to fulfill his desire. He started some very, very small and important business. Somehow business started growing. He became an important, wealthy person. He became actually quite rich. I didn't saw him for a couple of years, and I have opportunity to see him one more time. And then, you know, he was completely serious and unhappy face. And I asked him, come on, what is with you? Now you finally fulfill all your desires. You're happy. You're rich, right? You have a great car. You have a great family. What is now going on? He told me, I really don't know. I don't understand. Yes, I have money. I can buy everything, but I'm not happy. And then we discussed about that. And I mean, I tried to explain to him that Krishna consciousness maybe can help him and everything, but he decided to try to do some charity things and humanitarian things. He was giving money to few poor people and so many stuff. So that kind of activity made him a little bit happy. So he was not completely happy, he was just a little bit better. You know, he felt a little bit better than before. So fulfilling material desires cannot make us truly happy. Only fulfilling spiritual desires can make us truly happy. That's a fact. And spiritual desires only we can have if we have spiritual consciousness. If our mind is in the stage of pure spirituality. So the best attitude to perform service, first of all, before we came to Mayapur 7 years back, we had darshan, me and my wife, with Sachinanda Maharaj. And I asked him, can you please give us a final advice when we come over there, when we start living in Mayapur? I mean, we went before, but that is different when you come as a tourist and you come to live here. What is your advice for us? What we have to maintain to be able to stay there for the rest of our lives? And he told us, it's very important thing. Wherever you live, but especially in the Holy Dhamma, is a service. Anybody who wants to stay in the Holy Dhamma, anybody who wants to live should have a service. Anybody who wants to stay in Krishna consciousness, anywhere in the world, should have a proper service. Spiritual service, service for the Lord. Without that, we are in the big danger. I mean, we can survive, of course, we can pray, we can chant nicely, but attitude of service is always best. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had it, all his followers had it, all, you know, different lines in our sampradaya, they all follow that path of service. So it's very, very important for us when we come to live here, or when we are anywhere, out of our material duties, we have to perform. We have to perform some service for the Lord. Now, what does it mean, service? Service means also if we are a husband, if we are a wife, if we are a father, if we are a child, if we are a spiritual master or disciple, the service is if we are working in the kitchen, if we are working in the daily department, if we are MAC member, president, co-director, or if we are just somebody who is working in some department as a small person who is writing messages. Krishna doesn't look what we are doing, but he counts how we are performing our service. That's what counts. It's not if somebody is doing a lot of things that he's doing a great, that he is out of danger. We are out of danger only if we try to give our best, if we are giving our maximum when we are performing our service. And that's the best attitude, is doing any service. If we are friend, for example, we have a friend, and then we want to keep that friendship. This is our service for the Lord. Oh yes, friendship is our service. So we have to try to invest in our friendship. We have to try to give our best as much as we can, that our friend feels good. and so on and so on. Basically, on the end of the day, whatever we are doing during the day is service for Krishna, is a spiritual performance, and it's very important to give our best to perform that service in a perfect way. So there was a very great pundit in India who lived around 2000, Shishirada Madhavaki, around 2300 years ago. His name was Chanaka Pandit. Did you all hear about Chanaka Pandit? So Chanaka Pandit, also known as Kotila, his other name was Kotila. Somebody was even calling him Vishnu Gupta. He was a great politician of that time. One Mataji one time asked Prabhupada, is Chanaka Pandit was a pure devotee, a great devotee of Lord Vishnu? Prabhupada said, no, he was a great politician. I mean, he was amazing person, he was the great, he was very intelligent, very smart, and he did great things for us, but Prabhupada said that he was a great politician. But Prabhupada also mentioned we have to read and to follow what he wrote in those two scriptures that he wrote in that time. And there are many very great advices for us how to perform our duties, how to basically maintain and develop our life. So Chanaka Pandit, he was assistant, he was advisor of Chandragupta Maurya, that was the king in that time. And that king was really successful mostly because of Chanaka, because Chanaka Pandit was his advisor. And in that time, Chanaka Pandit, he was very famous. Everybody know about him around. You know, many kings, even they came from other countries to ask him for advice. So since his lifetime, he got, you know, big glory and fame. And he wrote two different shrutis, two different shastras. One is Artha Shastra, and another one, which is basically more important for us, is Niti Shastra. First one, Artha Shastra, is about economic development. It's mostly about for kings, for courts, how they have to perform perfectly their service, how to they have to maintain everything on the perfect way. And another one, Niti Shastra, is science about morality, about ethics. About it's basically the book of advices, how we have to, what we have to be careful about, what we have to accept as a part of our life, what we have to maintain, what we have to reject. So I choose for today two of his they're like verses, different lines in his Niti Shastra book. I choose 2:15 and 2:16. 2:15. It said that trees on the river bank, a woman in another man's house, and kings without counselors go without doubt to sweet destruction. That's one. And another one is, a brahmana's strength is in his learning, a king's strength is in his army, a Vaishnava's strength is in his wealth, and a Shudra's stand is in his attitude of service. So basically we have to be very, very careful in our lives. We have to be very conscious that it doesn't take so much to fall down. And it's not about that we should not make mistakes. Sometimes mistakes happen. Sometimes almost mistakes happen. But two things we have to remember about mistakes. When mistakes happen, first thing, we have to stand up as soon as possible. That means we should not lie down and cry and feel bad about everything. We should stand up and continue to perform our service as soon as possible. Second, maybe even more important fact is that we should not develop habit of making the same mistake again and again. Because that's not a mistake anymore. That's coming into category of offense towards the Lord. So those two things we have to remember, those two points. First one, it's not some devotees, when I was working, I mean, MCS is doing a really great job, and I was working in MCS almost 5 years, and I saw many different situations here in Mayapur around, and some devotees, when mistakes happen, they have tendency to just come down and just, you know, okay, I made this mistake, my life is not perfect anymore, I'm not devotee anymore, things are not good anymore, I should leave. That's false ego. That's wrong. We should all give our best not to commit mistake. But even if mistake happen, that's nature, because we are not perfect. Krishna is perfect. We are here because we are not perfect. And mistake happens. So we have to get up as soon as possible to chant our rounds, to come to the temple, to read, to have friendship with devotees, which is very important, and to go back in a straight track. And second thing, we should learn our lesson and not to commit same mistake again. That's the proper attitude. That's the Vaishnava. Vaishnava never believes that he's perfect. Vaishnava never believes that he is great. That's not Vaishnava. That's a poor imitation of Krishna. This is what it is. Vaishnava always believes, I'm trying to give my best, whatever I'm doing for Krishna, to perform on best possible way according to my capability. So even if I don't know to cook, I'm sorry, I'm really bad cook. I mean, I can try to cook something, and my children, they really like how I make pizza, but that's because they're really small. When they grow up, they will figure out that pizza is really bad. They like it just because I'm their father. I'm sorry, I have to admit that. So the point is, even if I'm doing that, I will try to give my best. So it's not that I'm ideal in that, but I will try to give my best, at least not to burn the kitchen. You know, that's also something. So whatever, it doesn't matter if we are perfect in something. We have to try to give our best. Another thing, if we want to be happy, we have to do things which make us happy. We have to do things which will make us happy. It's a very important thing. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, when before we had that, you know, so many temples, everybody joined the temple. We have, you know, they give us to clean first the temple room, they give us to clean the staircase, they give us to clean the toilet and so many different stuff. And it's not that we like to do that. I mean, some people they really like, but most of the people not. But it's good faith for us. But it's not faith. It's not that we have to do for the rest of our lives whatever we must do. It's good renunciation, but if it makes us to feel miserable, that we should stop it. We have to perform things which will make us happy. If we like to be pujari, we have to try our best to learn that. If we like to be artists, we have to try our best to learn that skill and to give our maximum. If we like to serve others, we have to try to find enough situation to make our day fulfilled and to do some wonderful service for different devotees. If we like just to do cooking, then we have to do that. But not also there is a measure. You know, sometimes if we are performing one service for too long, that we have to learn when it's time to change or to improve or to give up. So the point is that there is everything has its measure, and we have to be strong enough to recognize that measure. Otherwise, you know, again we can come into boring stage of life. That means that life is miserable, there is not any more ecstasy. In the beginning I chant the great rounds, there was a great kirtans, and now suddenly everything is nothing. I don't feel taste and everything. Everything depends only on us. Krishna is here all the time, all spiritual energy is here all the time. It depends on us, are we going to take it or not. So how we feel, are we happy or not, depends on us. And the secret of happiness is hiding in devotional service. So, for the end, I want to tell you one, at least for me, very interesting story. The story about giving. How wonderful is giving? There was a teacher, and one day he was walking through the forest with his disciple, with one student. They went out of the forest, and there was a field, and few warriors was working inside of that field. There was one rich person. He was owner of so much land around, and he was renting some poor warriors to work with him. So they was walking, and they found a pair of shoes in the middle of the road. Those shoes were broken and ripped. It was obvious that somebody is walking the shoes for many years, and he's trying to maintain the shoes on the best possible, but still it's all shoes full of holes and, you know, in bad condition. And the teacher, he recognized and told that the student that actually got the shoes from one of the workers over there, very nice, honest man. He lives with his family in near village, and they're very poor. So he's working hard to maintain his family. And student said, "I have idea." He said, "Yes, please tell me. Maybe we can take these shoes and hide somewhere. And then when he comes, we can hide also, we can see what will happen. He probably gonna be, you know, disturbed, and, you know, he will walk around and he will check. And you know, we can make a joke. You know, usually sometimes we try to make jokes." Then teacher, he looked at his student and he just told him, "It looks like that you didn't learn anything for all those years. But anyway, let's just change slightly scenario. Instead of taking his shoes and putting them aside, you are from rich family. You probably kept some coins in his pocket, right?" He said, "Yes, my father gave me a few coins. Yeah, I have." "So can you take two coins, put one coin in one shoe, and the other coin in the other shoe, and we can go hide and see what will happen?" The student was, "Okay, I mean, it's also a joke, you know, it's not good as mine, but let's try." And he took two coins, he went, he put one coin in one shoe, the other coin in the other shoe, and they hid behind a tree. They was waiting to see what will happen. So the worker, he finished his job, actually it was just some pause or something, he came back, he wanted to put his shoes on, he took the right shoe, he put his leg, and he felt there is something hard inside. He took out his leg and he find out the coin. And he was watching that coin, you know, he was checking, is it real or not? And he was amazed, he didn't believe what happened. Then he tried to put left leg, and he found another coin in another shoe. And then he just, you know, went on his knees down on the land, and he started crying. And he stared in the sky and said, "My dear Lord, thank you very much for this gift. I really need it, and you find out exactly the right moment to help me, because my wife is getting sick and I don't have money to go in hospital to help her, and my children doesn't have enough food to eat. Thank you very much for this wonderful gift. I don't know how I deserve it, but it's a great, this day is the perfect, the best day in my life." After the poor man left, the student started crying. And he turned over towards teacher and he told him, "Thank you very much for teaching me this great lesson today. I will never forget in my life." And teacher turned over and said, "Yes, giving is always much, much better than receiving. Instead of receiving his misery, you gave him something. And that something doesn't mean too much to you. Two coins more or less in your pocket is not a big deal for you. But for him, it can change his life eternally, forever. So it's very good, I think it's a very nice example how we should always give, trying to have that giving attitude instead of always thinking to receive something. For Sankirtan devotees, one book can change somebody's life. For them it's just one book more or less in the bag. But for somebody that's saving, it can save somebody's life. And that's why We always try to give our best to perform our service on the best possible way. Today afternoon we have one great gathering in Community Hall. Vasudev Prabhu is here, he is one of the organizers, and we will have glorification of one of the greatest Vaishnavas we ever had in Eastern. One of the legends, basically, one of the closest associates of Srila Prabhupada in the first years in America, Her Grace Yamuna Devidasi. So I also want to remind you to invite you to come to Community Hall today, 5 p.m., right? And that we all together can share some unforgettable memories, and it will be a movie also. So thank you very much for today's lecture. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Gaur Premanande Hari Krishna. Is there any questions? Thank you. Hare Krishna.